going to be Deborah, who teaches lawn darts. Let me introduce you. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Not Cool. Today, my guest, I'm excited because this is the first time I'm meeting you, her. Is that your pronoun?
Yeah.
I'll take it. Okay, great.
The ice cream bar? Sure. Whatever.
Mine's Cheetos. So...
We're fine.
I love cheesies. She's a stand-up comedian, very funny stand-up comedian. And also, love that I found this out, country singer.
Yeah, I do a little country.
Jessica Michelle Singleton, everybody, is on Not Cool today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's oh, my God.
Meet you in nice person. To meet you. I've always seen you on the webs and stuff, but we never hadn't crossed paths as I beat up the microphone. So it's nice to... Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and also... We're under the same umbrella for podcasts. You and Steph Tolov.
What? I'm repping it. Me and Steph Tolov have a podcast called Slob. So if you like this, I think you'll like what we're doing over there, which is just oversharing. Disgusting. So come on over. Check it out.
Who came up with why Slobs and who came up with Slobs?
You know,
it's a great name.
Now I don't remember. In my mind, I think it was me, but I'm like, what if this is just me being like, we had some other name. I can't remember what it was. And then when we were doing our photo shoot for the cover, someone was like, we are slobs. Like, we had an idea to do some disgusting picture. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a word that both Steph and I definitely use. So
slobs.
Yeah. And somebody said it. And then we all had one of those moments where we were like, wait, that should be the title. Why? Mm-hmm. Why isn't that the title? Because it was, I don't know. I think it was just like poop. Talking. I literally don't remember what the title was, but it was a terrible title. They were like slobs and it stuck, and I think it's good.
We are
slobs. It's disgusting.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Like, our backdrop is that we like hang a trailer.
I saw that.
I mean, it was fun to make. We got inspired because you made your own. I'm like, well, we can make our own, right? And then we had to have someone help us because we could not. But
it's so good though.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
It's really good. Well, it's trailer trash.
Trailer trash. Yeah, you can say it.
Ish.
Those are my people. I could say my family is trailer trash carnies. Those are. No, I'm just kidding. I know they are.
I was like, what the fuck? I've never met anybody over the carnies. Like, because I grew up in, like, not the carnival, but the state fairs.
Oh, yeah. Give me a state fair, operating rides, selling stuff out of a hut.
I worked at the Greater Tater Hut. You're really speaking my language. Yeah. For you, that was the first. That was my starting point, was the Greater Tater. And then I got promoted. So
got to work your way up to the coffee stand.
Coffee at the state fair. They wouldn't even know what the fuck to do with that. No, true state fair goers. They would either have a Trenti Frappuccino with extra whip.
Oh, yeah.
At some sort. That would be like.
There's like a whole funnel cake in a cup. Yeah, and like a shot of espresso. Yeah. It's a funnel espresso.
And then they fry it. Yeah.
Yes, the cup is covered in just powdered sugar.
Yeah, with a topping of grease.
Yeah.
Just
eat the cup. Grease. You'll be fine.
With a side of zits. Yeah. I kind of did this whole thing for you because because you're a country singer.
Yeah.
So obviously, and I didn't want you to see me either. So.
Yeah, no, I was like, where is she? What's going on? Is it just me?
Is it weird?
Where'd you go?
I'm here. You're
from Kentucky?
Yeah.
Oh, I grew up in southern Mississippi, but then when I was in sixth grade, because my dad had left and my mom is a crazy person, drove us to Alaska. So then
drove from Mississippi to Alaska?
So like 2 weeks in a Subaru across the country. Then we drove onto like a ferry boat.
Yeah.
She's like, it's going to be like a cruise ship. It was a Greyhound bus on the water. 3 days on this boat. She gets off and drives us through like Canada up around into Anchorage and never told us that she didn't know how to drive on snow until we were in it. She's like, well, I don't really know what I'm doing. And I'm like, good, great. This is how we die. And then I lived there through high school. So, but it's also, it's a very country place up there too.
Alaska. It's all woods.
It's woods. It's hunting, fishing. Yeah. I'm freezing. That's it.
Yeah. What did you do? Like, I mean, the only thing I know about Alaska is Jewel lived there in a bus with a dad.
Yeah, no, and that's what you do in
Alaska. It's embarrassing that's the only thing I know about. And they have bears and eagles.
That's all you need to know.
And
we got wild animals like bears and eagles and Jewel.
Yeah.
Jewel's tooth. Anyway, I love her. She's just great. There's not. You drink and you do drugs.
Yeah.
I hated it. Well, we found out within a month of moving up there that I have an allergy to cold weather.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, it's called urticaria. Yeah. So if I get too cold, I just break into hives. So then I just stayed inside a lot.
Holy
shit. I immediately
shit.
Became a weird indoor kid. And holy I was shit. Like, okay, great. Well, this will be fine.
The whole time you lived there, you had to stay inside?
Yeah, I like wouldn't go out. Welts? Like I never really got into snowboarding. I would every once in a while go out and we'd do like sledding, inner tubing, but after an hour I'd be like, I have to go, because I'm just covered in welts.
I thought your tongue is swollen.
Yeah, I'm like, bye, bye, bye. So got all my sports out in the summertime, and then I holed up a lot. I got into a lot of indoor activities.
Yeah.
Which I don't even remember. I'm like, what did I do in the wintertime? Get on MSN and just make sad, because we used MSN instead of AOL Instant Messenger. Yeah. We're kind of different that way. So just making statuses and being like, I'm totally out having fun in my house alone. I'll be over here with my journal. Yeah, a lot of journaling, a lot of inside searching. I played sports and stuff, but the seasons are always tiny because of winter. It's great so cold, if you yeah. love the cold.
Yeah.
If you love to ski and you like shred on a snowboard.
It's shred. Cold. Or I'm just trying. Go to Vermont or Colorado or something.
Somewhere
not as
a
goddamn
season.
Far. Yeah.
It's 9 months of winter and darkness.
It's so dark.
Yeah.
It's so dark. Is that where you get your comedy? Is that where you get funny? Because you lived in Alaska and the sheer darkness with...
Oh, yeah. Just, it's like dark. It's also like physically dark, but also it's dark. Like you don't move to Alaska without having something. You're running from something.
Yeah.
You're like, let's go to the coldest place on earth.
Yeah.
We have like the high, like crazy crime rate, highest murder or suicide rate per capita.
We know there's a reality show made about Alaskan police. Did you know this?
There's a police one. There's so many Alaskan shows.
It's well, there's family. There was a family, a reality show about a family that was that
oh, yeah,
Alaskan.
The
yeah.
Boonies. I don't even remember what the name of that show is.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. We're out of here. I think is what it's called. And then like they fucking, and they show that their whole lives is getting ready for the winter. Like that's all
you do.
They do is get
winter's
ready for
here,
the winter. Yeah,
still winter, and better prepare for more winter.
Yeah. They shoot elk and then they freeze them in a freezer. And then the other one is there. Yeah, because the drinking and the crime rate is so skyrocketed there.
It's crazy
that they and the cops, whatever, the Alaskan police,
APD.
they have a lot of helicopters because they can't get to these like rural remote places. Yeah. Did you drink a lot? Did you do drugs there?
I never got into hard drugs, which if you look at like everyone else in my family is I'm shocked by it. I'm like, well, how am I the only kid in our family that didn't do heroin? You know, but I'm like, it just seems like it slows you down. And I'm kind of a workaholic. I've got too
it's
much
like
to do.
The worst drug possible.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm like, what is this, amateur hour? Also, that thing where people go, they use like heroin. That heroin's like the comparative thing you use to justify your own vices. You're like, well, at least it's not heroin.
Yeah.
But where
yeah.
I'm from, it is.
Yeah.
So many people got into pills by like 10th grade. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I drank a lot. I started drinking in early high school, just going to parties and being like, we're cool. And then maybe through college. But I think leaving sort of made me feel like I went to college, partied hard. But I went to college in Florida. Because I was like, what is this, the polar opposite?
And I went to summer camp in Asia.
Yeah.
Are you?
I don't.
It's amazing.
Know. I'm still
it's
trying
amazing.
To figure it out.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
But you just went from white trash to white trash to white trash.
Oh, yeah.
Every corner that you
I was
hit.
Like, I need culture, but like not shock.
Yeah.
So it's the same people with different weather. Basically, is where I go.
No. Yeah.
The most shocking place I moved was California.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Why does nobody have a gun?
Yeah.
How do you protect yourself?
How long did you live in Florida? I get now why you do country. Like I can see, I'm like, oh, okay.
The thing is like I've always liked country music because I grew up on it. 5 years, by the way, mm-hmm. four through college, and then I worked for a year because I was like, I'm gonna save up, and then I'm moving to Hollywood to be in the big time. Here we are in the big time.
Okay, you know what? This is prima right here.
No,
this is goddamn
this is
the basement of the comedy store.
We did it. No, it's like
rushing it.
I mean, it's crazy. I'm like, oh damn, look at us chasing dreams and we're doing shit. It is always funny, like, if people who have never been on the set of anything, mm-hmm. that it seems so grandiose. In almost any set I've seen, it's like a tiny.
Yeah.
You go to a talk show and it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
This audience is like 12 people. How do you cut to the audience all the time? Yeah, I always loved country. And I think there was a while where it was like a dirty secret. Because mm-hmm. I felt like, I don't know if you're a country music person or like...
I like the old school stuff. I respect it. I love get it. I love the stories.
I love classic country. I grew up on 90s country, but I felt like in California, you can't go, I like country, without someone going, did you just say that you hate minorities and had sex with one of your siblings? And you're like, no, I just like stories and a banjo every once in a while, which I guess sort of sounds maybe like I've been touched by an uncle.
I mean, it's a little Appalachian-y, bluegrassy. Yeah,
what
I mean,
it sounds like when you get fingered by your.
I just added that part, not from personal experience. I mean, like,
we're riffing.
He's like a uncle removed.
But yeah, he's like who? What? Half uncle, half monster. Anyway, Uncle Jeff. So, I don't know. In the pandemic, I was like locked down, dating a guy at the time who was a musician who I basically just bullied into being like, well, I want to make country music. Mm-hmm. And so I did.
Yeah.
But I've always loved it. And now I'm kind of like, I put it all under another name. So it's going out under this name, Norma Lee Wild.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of treating it like a character so I can get out my like, I like country and being all, like to an extent.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like I don't know. It's like an outlet for it without it. I don't know. I guess I was like afraid if I am like, I also like country music, people would make assumptions about me that were inaccurate.
It's true. Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, country. So you're like a Republican and you hate the gays and you're like, not on my block will we have any of these black people. And it's like, no, I just like songs about beer. I don't know. I love everybody and I like beer, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you have a new song coming out, speaking of, that I just... noticed, right?
It's dropping on Friday. It's called Gulf Coast Girls. And all the other, I had two other songs I wrote and they just all came out last week. So I wrote a song called Redneck Rhapsody. And okay, that is like a cartoon of a country song, but that's kind of what I was going for, like Brooks and Dunn, like 90s party country. And then another one called Now I Need Whiskey, which is the first song I put out. So yeah, but Gulf Coast Girls, it's about like growing up in the southernness and just like in the sunshine and drinking and listening to music and chain smoking. It's all very basic.
People love that shit. Yeah. I listen to it.
It's like a story.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been fun. It's kind of fun to have a separate, and it's not serious, like with comedy or anything, you know, once you like get into it as like, I'm going to make this my living. Then it adds these stakes that can be frustrating. And with that, it's like, well, if nobody likes it, then it's just for me.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that you've made it, but even when I look at country stars now and even wait, like Dolly Parton country, like, I mean, everybody's a character. Like the hair, it's a show.
It is. It's a performance.
It's a show.
Yeah. Like I didn't think about this until like yesterday I did photos in like a character of
yeah.
Wild. I had a big old red wig. That's why my hair is covered now because I have like the braids.
Still. I see the braids. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, people are going to make different assumptions about me with the braids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were almost tucked under a wig.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and those are things I can't live up to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have a friend who was over at my house earlier today and she's like, oh, it's like drag. She's like, if you think Dolly Parton is a drag queen.
Yes.
Like she's a woman who puts on a whole look.
Whole thing. Yeah.
And we love it.
Yeah.
You know? Everyone's like, yes, Dolly. But like that's a wig. 100 pounds of makeup.
Yeah.
God say. I wonder if Dolly Parton walks down the street without her wig and nobody recognizes her.
She never leaves the house without her wig.
Yeah.
Did you watch the documentary on Dolly Parton?
I haven't seen it.
Watch it.
I gotta watch it.
Well, no, because it's like her, Jane Fonda, who they've been friends for forever, Lily Tomlin, and they worked on 9 to 5 together, right?
Yes.
But that's what Jane Fonda would talk about Dolly Parton. That's why, I mean, and she would say, Dolly, we would have like call time at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
For working 9 to 5, and Dolly would show up. Nobody on that set ever saw her not as Dolly Parton.
Which it's like, when does she sleep?
Fucking never.
That's wild. She's she's not even alive. She's a vampire. Yeah, because I always think about that. I'll get mad sometimes thinking about just out of nowhere. I'll be on not even like a big show. It's like I'm doing a set somewhere, but trying to get ready and just be not a complete hobo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just randomly be like, fuck men. They just get to roll out of bed. They don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm supposed to spend this extra time. And then half the time I don't. But when I do get ready, I'm like,
yeah,
I have to do my hair. It takes 2 goddamn hours to get everything done. It's not fair, but like, it is a commitment.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. People who have a look, I'm blown away.
When yeah. Always I'm like, who has a look? Like a comedian?
I don't even know. I'm trying to. Dolly Parton is the only person.
I'm like, yeah, country singers have a fuck. They're getting paid millions of goddamn. Yeah. I hope you have a look. Like, no, that's what I mean. Like, comedians, that you're so polar opposite in your two talents. Oh, I mean, yeah.
You have to be, though. Like,
yes. Yes. I mean, they both. Well, your country music usually pulls from like bluesy, darker stories,
yeah,
right? Like,
right.
Oh, my husband left me and my family's dead. Yeah.
Everybody's dead.
Yeah. Then ding, 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 ding.
It's a music video. It's just one person surrounded by dead bodies. Like, what happened?
In credit, they just get their decapitated. Was that too much? Okay.
Too dark?
Mm-hmm. I'm a little dark. So they both pull from the same like spot, but one like comedy, you have to downplay as if I'll speak for myself, but. Have to downplay kind of your femininity a little bit. Like you kind of have to downplay it, wear a turtlenecks, you know, like a full sleeping bag and like.
Yeah. Just wear a sheet and you're like, I'm technically a lady, but do I even have boobs? Who knows? Yeah. Cause it's like, God forbid there be something to look at when you're trying to get people to listen.
Or laugh. Yeah.
Yeah. That yeah. It's like, how dare you be funny and also even mildly attractive.
Yeah.
You haven't earned the right to be funny.
Yeah.
Your eyes aren't googly or whatever. You know, it's like you haven't been through the trenches. And then with music, it's like you're supposed to be dressed up and have a look. And then it's like, I don't want to be a hobo with my comedy. So that's also a line of like, these people have paid for a show. I don't want to come up, you know, in sweatpants. I have.
Mm.
But like, yeah, you have to be relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, yes. I think I've reached that point too where I like, even for me, a stand up like of wearing sweatpants and the biggest sweatshirt as possible.
Yeah.
But also as an entertainer, knowing that the audience has paid for the show, dress the fuck up. You know what I mean?
This is a night out, especially when you start adding up. Like, I think I did a weekend years ago where I was featuring for Bert Kreischer and he.
No big deal.
It was a big deal. It was pretty cool. And then he was like, I'll never have women feature me again.
Okay.
So. I was kidding, kind of. He's like, I don't know how to treat you because I'm afraid you'll think I'm weird.
Yeah.
Like, I'll drink a beer with you and it's fine. But he was like, you know, these people have paid, you know, $25+ a ticket by the time you're like headlining a club.
Mm-hmm.
So you think like, if that's a date night. And at that point, it was right before he went to theater. So I think he was like $45 per person for him.
Yeah.
But paying for parking, there's a 2-drink minimum. Like, that's a big night out for people.
Huge, yeah.
And then like to, which is so funny thinking about that, because it's like he's in jeans and he rips his shirt off on stage.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it has to, like, the idea of seeming like you don't care at all is mm-hmm. offensive, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But you can care without being dressed to the nines. It's just like, yeah, I don't want people to be like, well, we prepared for this. And you just like, what, rolled out of bed?
Yeah.
Even though with some of the sets here, I have literally just rolled out of bed and been like, I'm going to be late.
No. But there's also that too. I've seen that too. Like,
yeah.
But it's also if you commit to it.
Yeah.
And like, this is the jam, then like people will be on board. I think with anything that you're doing, whether it's singing or comedy, as long as you commit to it.
Yeah. You know? And you're just comfortable with whatever you're bringing to the stage, yeah, that you're like, this is who I am, this is what you're getting.
Yeah.
Some sort of like, I am sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's all,
well, like with comedy, who would you say, like, growing up in Alaska? Like, but no, really, I mean, you're out in the middle of, I would assume, not a lot of shit, not a lot of entertainment.
There's
so
definitely no live.
Yeah. Like, so who did you listen to? Who did you watch? Why did you want to become a comedian? Like,
I mean, I grew up watching like 90s stand-up specials. Like, I really loved Carlin, which I think anyone who's seen my material would be like, because he, especially towards the end, was so political and I'm so not political.
Yeah.
I'm just like, my butthole's weird. but I loved him. I loved,
are we
like,
the same person?
I think we we are.
I love talking about buttholes. Please proceed. Sorry, go ahead.
There's like an endless supply of things to say about buttholes. They just...
big deep hole.
Yeah, so much depth. Keep pulling.
Sorry. Please go ahead. Please.
No, it's fine. Yeah. I liked... I don't even remember it now, but like Ellen's stand-up. I grew up watching a lot of like black comedy sitcoms, like Living Single or like Living Color.
Yes. Yeah.
All those. And then, yeah, I think I just was in a household that was chaotic. And not my immediate family, but like my extended family, my mom's like, she's one of eight children.
Yeah.
And all of her siblings are like really funny. They just like, you know, talk shit at each other and there's always a bit going. So they love to laugh. So big family events would always be like just people laughing. And I liked that. And I think from a young age, I was kind of like a weirdo, but it would make people laugh.
Yeah.
Because they're like, she's different.
yeah. Yeah.
And I think I just at some point was like, oh, I like this feeling. I like making people laugh. Mm-hmm. Kind of early on. I was like, well, that's the, it was one of the first things that I was confident I was able to do versus like, I don't think I'm pretty or like, I think I might be smart in some ways, but maybe I'm like kind of weird in social settings. But mm-hmm. It was one of those like, well, I know I can make people laugh.
Yeah.
That's something I'm okay at. And it sort of just grew from there.
Do you remember the first time you made somebody like laugh, like you made them feel better? Do you remember that moment where you're like, oh shit, that feels good?
I think the very first time I cracked someone up was I was really little and we had just watched something with Dolly Parton, actually. Mm-hmm. I think I might have been like not even quite in kindergarten, and I had a brother who was a couple years older than me, and he put his t-shirt over his knees, mm-hmm. and he's like, look at my big boobies. Look at my big titties. Look at these boobs. And my mom was like, enough. Stop talking about boobs. And I put my shirt over my thing and I was like, hey, look over here, look at my big knees. And it's not funny, but like at the time, but like it cracked everyone up.
Yeah.
The room, because I guess it was just like a twist, because my mom was ready to be like, don't you fucking do that. And I remember being like, oh my mom's not yelling when she's laughing. I think that's literally what it was. I was like, if you can make mom laugh, she'll stop screaming at you.
Yeah. So I actually like that. If you want to take that on the road with me, I'll do the boobs part, you do the knees.
Yes.
Think about it.
Have you seen tits and knees? They're this dual act. It's nothing but
our
knees
merch
and
would
tits.
Be killer.
Nice knees. Hey, my knees are up here.
You see where we're going? This guy's going to crush.
We're the new Abbott and Costello.
That's amazing. By the way, I love your mom. I love the persona that you put on your mom. Where is your mom? I love moms. I used to do my mom all the
time. My mom's my favorite character to like play. If I like write someone in a script based on my mom, I mean, she's unhinged.
Yeah.
But like it's the most fun. She lives in Baltimore now.
Of course she does.
Yeah, because she's lived there for like a year because she got a job at a state park.
Wait, whoa. Yeah. Did she move from Alaska to Baltimore?
Oh, no.
To a state park?
I went to college, she was in Alaska. I went to college in Florida. She works for the government.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all I know. A lot of my friends are like, she's in the CIA. I went to college. She did a year in Afghanistan. Sure. She spent a year in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Did 6 months in India, then moved to Korea for 7 years.
I can't with her. Okay.
Yeah, no, she, like, it sounds made up.
She's like Inspector Gadget over there.
Just she fucking, is. Like, but also my mom is like, I have, like, personally witnessed how, like, clumsy my mom is. And so she's like, it's fine. I'm like, she must be like the Pink Panther or like Mr. Magoo, where she's just like... goes these places and is probably messing them up.
Mm-hmm.
She said one time, so when she was in Afghanistan, everyone stayed in like their own little like trailers, and they would do these drills where you'd have to go to like a bomb shelter because mm-hmm.
It's Afghanistan
for bomb. Yeah, it's a war zone. I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah,
but like she said, she drank Robitussin one night because she wasn't feeling well, and then like woke up, or like she like. Thought she heard the bomb alarms going off and like ran to the shelter with her helmet on and just sat in there like
She's the only one in there
with her helmet. It's like, the helmet that makes it
like funny. I'm just picturing my mom because I know what my mom wears to bed. It's just a giant shirt with no pants in a helmet running to a bomb shelter, and then she just fell back asleep in there and then like woke up and was like, why didn't anyone come? She asked people, she's like, why didn't you guys go to the shelter last night when the alarms went off? And everyone's like, no alarms went off, what are you talking about? And that's my mom in a nutshell. That like, I'm like, oh, if you actually are some high level intelligence government official, we're fucked. Like, you're gonna accidentally like give away the codes or hit the red button or whatever that launches the nuclear war. Like, it's horrifying. She just says she's got a restless soul. She's like, I just want to see the world. And I'm like, Iraq? That's you seeing the world?
She's seeing the world in a fucking bomb shelter.
It's like not even like the, I assume any area. Like, there's probably like nice and or like cool cultural areas. You're in a desert that's like hiding from war. You're not seeing the world. Or starting a war. I don't know what the U.S. government does. But then she moved to Utah and lived in the middle of nowhere after her assignment in
She loves Korea. The middle of nowhere, man.
She does. Well, Korea, she was like in Seoul, in a high rise. Like the salary they gave her, plus I think like her job covered housing. Mm-hmm. So she was just living large, like way better than we ever lived growing up. Mm-hmm. She had like a little 3-bedroom like high rise. There was a cleaning lady. There's a spa in the building. Just all the amenities. And then she moves to basically a trailer in the middle of southern Utah. Gosh. Then after a year and a half, she's like, I can't live like this.
Yeah.
There's nothing around. And now she's like, I'm going to a city where things are alive. And then she moved to Baltimore.
You know what, though?
I was like, well, you might get gunned down in Baltimore, so that's...
Or be on another revival of the show Hairspray, because that's exactly where it took place. Yes. That's the only thing I know about Baltimore.
Good morning, Baltimore. And I'm like, you're just at the height of the civil rights movement, if it was the 60s. And she's like, apparently the neighborhood I'm in has a little bit of crime. And I'm like, did you do no read? It's Baltimore. It's The Wire.
A little bit. Just a touch.
It's one of the most dangerous cities in America. What are you doing?
But that's getting a splash of crime. But she said she works at a state park.
Yeah, she now runs, I think, like the budget for. Also, I'm like, what's now? I'm going, what state park that's is what in I'm Baltimore?
Like, picturing Yellowstone. I'm like, what state park?
It must be like obviously like outside the city. I don't even know. Oh my God, what if that's just a lie? I've blown her cover. She calls me. She's like, I'm in Amsterdam. I can't talk to you for 2 weeks. Like, yeah. So now she just does like paperwork and I think makes sure that the state park isn't spending too much money on things.
Okay.
Until she retires, which okay. I don't think she will. I think she's a workaholic. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Is she proud of you? Is she proud of you that you've moved to the big city of Hollywood and made it in the basement of Comedy Store right now?
I think so. Like, I think it took her, it's been a few years where I think when I first was doing it, I was like, I'm going to move to LA and like really give comedy a shot. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, don't get into cocaine.
Alrighty.
Like, that was her. Like, it's the 80s, and that was the only thing she knew about comedy in Los Angeles. She's like, well, be careful with all the cocaine. And I was like, okay, thanks. And then a few years after I'd done it, I went home and did like a headlining show and she saw me there and I did really well and she saw how the crowd responded. And I think that was like her moment of like, oh, okay, you're going to be fine. Because I think anyone having their child go into the arts, you're kind of like, I want you to do what makes you happy. But like, wouldn't something with more money make you happy?
Yeah.
And also, this is more of a testament to how low the bar is with my siblings, but like, I think I'm the most successful out of us.
How many siblings do you have?
I have one actual sibling, like brother, and then 2 stepbrothers.
Okay.
And one of them has a kid and like has a full-time job. So he's doing fine, but he's had a little flare-ups, getting a little trouble when he was younger. And I think he's good now, but the other two are just fully off the grid addicts. Like, I hope they're okay, but you just never know. It's like that level of, well, we did everything we could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess it's, you know, it's not hard to shine when everyone else is like, well, I just do heroin. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
tradition. But do you talk about them on stage? I mean, your family is colorful. Like, it's a
I've started talking about it more. I talk about my childhood with my dad leaving and, like, how my dad was growing up. And my mom, I've brought stuff about her in. So it's, like, starting to expand. It took me a long time to feel comfortable talking about it. And I don't know. I probably had to process trauma, you know, or whatever. But
yeah,
they're fun. And I'm sure I'll bring my brothers into it at some point. It is... It's a cartoon. It makes no sense. My mom's also her new husband, not new. They've been married for like 20 years. He's like a light skinned Jamaican man who's missing a finger. Like sure his thing. Name's Terry. Like
all right. T-E-R-R-Y or is it T-E-R-I? Where are
it's
we going
T-E-R-R-Y.
Here?
T-E-R-R-Y. It's okay. Terrence, really. But he's Terry. And it's just
Terry.
Like, how is any of this real?
Yeah.
And when she like moved to Korea, he just works construction and stuff. So he just is like, all right, I guess I'll go to Korea. And then he was like a maintenance man at a school for Korean children. So it's just like giant man walking around missing a finger, scaring children.
Well, have you written, you're a writer. I mean, you write country songs, you write your comedy. Yeah. Have you ever like written a screenplay about your family? Thought about it?
Well, I've thought about like that or writing a book. I don't know. I've thought about it because it's insane. And also,
yeah.
There's more layers. Like, I was actually born in Germany. We moved to Southern Mississippi. When I got older, I found out my dad actually wasn't my dad. I was created through artificial insemination. Like, it's insane.
No shit.
Yeah. Just a sperm bank. Just a little...
You know, so did your mom was artificially inseminated with you.
Yeah.
Before she met your...
Well, no. She was married to my, like, who I assumed was my dad.
Dad. Okay.
They weren't going to tell me. And okay. Sort of like, okay, I got out of the bag. And I was like, really, we're just going to leave that off the table when I'm a hypochondriac who's obsessed with my medical history. We're not going to mention, by the way, grandma's epilepsy has nothing to do with you. No one's going to. Okay, that's grandma's. Fine.
Or grandma. Were you the only one that was artificially inseminated?
Well, my brother's from it, too. And my mom was like, well, we use the same sperm donor.
Yeah.
But then 23andMe came along and I was like, well, gotcha, bitch. Somebody lied to somebody, and I'm not saying it was you. It could have been the doctor.
It was that big of a, you could tell in your 23andMe.
Oh, yeah. So I got 23andMe after that happened. More out of like, I thought that there would be more medical history.
Yeah.
A little like they tell you your genes, but I thought like, I don't know what I thought it would be. I found out I'm mostly Jewish or more Ashkenazi Jewish than anything else, which was the big like difference in my family where I thought, I then later got it from my mom and my brother as a gift. And I thought, this is where we find out the family actually like buried their Jewish history.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, you're going to be shocked. Mm-hmm. You're Jewish. No one, just me.
Your mom's not Jewish.
No, that was all from the sperm donor.
What?
But my family, so this is probably not the right thing to say, but my extended family, my mom's family, when we get together, they have this vibe that like, it seems like a Jewish or Italian, just loud and just joking and, you know, whatever. I feel like every event's around food and that's like our love languages. Can I make something for you? You know? So in my mind, I guess because of like media, I was like, that's like Jewish and Italian. We're probably one of those things.
Yeah.
No, just me. And they're all my brother. So it registered him as half brother.
Yeah.
Like it shows up as this is your half sibling. And he's like really British. I'm like, oh, that explains his teeth. But sorry. Oops. Sorry, British people. It's probably actually just his hygiene habits because he is a heroin addict.
I was going to say, it could be the drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Dude. Probably.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. What is a tooth? You know? Just get in the way of sucking on that.
If you're missing one, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Just you can sell the air in faster. Your actually brain is probably better because you're getting more oxygen.
That's what I'm saying. Straws have a place. They need a place too.
Just in that tooth. I had the straw installed, so then I'm reusing it all the time. It's good for the environment.
Yeah, just a straw tooth. God, it makes my gums like, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
kiss me the weepy cheepies. Yeah, I've lost a couple teeth. It's okay. Man down.
No,
it's all right,
what?
Man. Yeah, in the back, you can't even see them. There's still two gaping holes.
Adult life, they were like, peace out. We're sick of
you. You know, I think there's a lot that went into that. My own little drug story, shan't we?
Hollywood.
Yeah. Actually, Kentucky. So.
Wow, that's a good step. I think the bourbon's good.
Yeah, the more trees, the more mental illness. I'm just joking, everybody in the Southeast. I mean, sort of. Anyway, let that resonate for a little bit, and we'll come back to it later.
We believe in you.
I have half a belief. It's going to be okay. Not really. So you're on the road a ton.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I always love talking to comics who are on the road because it's such a parallel universe that, but what's the worst? What's the worst road story or stage story on the road that you have?
Okay. This is more about a comedy condo on the road, but I was doing a gig in Springfield, Missouri. Good day. Great crowds, by the way. Super mm-hmm. fun. And I was given an address for the comedy condo. Mm-hmm. Like, go here. Yeah. There'll be a key under the mat or something. I get there. I open the door to this condo. And look, it's like a hacky stock premise of a condo being like a mess or gross mm-hmm. for comedians. But this was like, I went in the bathroom to pee and there was just one like crusty towel. It's like a hoarder lives here. There's just open bags of food.
Why are they open?
I don't
know. Who the
know.
Fuck
just
is
like
in
loose
there?
Chips. Oh, someone was literally in there.
That's the name of my next podcast.
Who the fuck is
loose
in
chips.
There? Loose chips. I go around the corner. There's literally a man cutting up weed on the table. I was like, in Springfield, Missouri.
Stop.
Kidding.
Why was there a man in the condo you were supposed to be staying at?
The guy who like runs the club is like, oh yeah, that's, I don't even remember his name. I do remember the last time I saw that club owner, I was like, remember that guy? And he's like, yeah, he passed away. And I was like,
okay, god well, damn it. In the condo.
Probably in the condo. I was like, I cannot stay here. And by the way, he had that guy, that club owner had me back, and I was like, gave him a way higher rate. It was almost like a, I don't really want to do this rate, but I will do it for this amount of money. Because mm-hmm. it was scary. And then I was like, and I need you to provide a hotel. And he's like, okay, diva. And I was like, I'm sorry, there was a man. Not only was he cutting up drugs, he was talking about his friend who was from another country. And like, I have all the empathy in the world for like immigrants. And like, this was some, like one of the Middle Eastern countries. I can't remember which one. This was right when all that stuff of like, they're making everything illegal.
Yes.
You know, people aren't allowed to get in. People's like families couldn't come home or whatever. But he's like, you know, he doesn't have his passport. Isn't renewed. And he was from like Iran or something. And, yeah. And he's going to come over here. And I was like, I don't want to just be harboring a fugitive in like the most racist state in America where they're just going to be like a shootout in the living room. What do you do? What's going on? Why is that guy in Missouri? He should at least go to a coastal region where people will
help.
Care about him.
Help him. Yeah.
He's like, get him out of here.
Yeah. He's landlocked between just
like
second.
You're bagging yeah. up drugs and talking about harboring. It wasn't just that he was an immigrant, by the way. I forgot. I should have said this. He was like a fugitive. He also yeah. was like wanted for something.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on mm-hmm. here? And I just ended up buying. I ended up spending all of the money I made getting my own room at like a shitty hotel. I was like, I don't care. Lesson learned. But then even at the end of the weekend, the guy running the club gave me a check for like a third of what he was supposed to pay me. And he's mm-hmm. like, yeah. And then he's like, well, there's that. And then I'll get the rest to you. And I was like, No.
He's on Afterpay. Just yeah, like
I'll PayPal you. And I had heard from some road dog comedian, you know, some old man who's been like, you got to be careful out there on the road. Yeah. They'll try to fuck you. You know, was like, you never leave without your money because you will not get that money. And
yeah.
So I was like, I'm really sorry, but I cannot leave without my money. And I was like, I'm going to be murdered by that drug dealer for sure. He ended up just signing another check and it went through, so I don't know what his deal was. Yeah. But I'm like, the show was sold out. I don't know what you're...
Yeah. But I'm still stuck on it. He's called you diva.
Yeah, when I asked for a hotel room instead of a crusty condo, which, by the way,
Okay, diva, you want to get paid too? Fuck!
The Queen of England? And it's like, yeah, I'm asking to be put in a Days Inn in Springfield. Let's relax. Yeah. I found out another yeah. comic posted a few months later a whole status because they got robbed in that condo.
Shut up!
I was like, yeah, of course you got robbed. There's criminals in there.
I can't.
No.
And dead bodies. It
was,
yeah.
Also, it was... The bed was in a loft. It was just this like creaky wooden ladder up to, you ever stay in a top bunk where they're like the ceiling is too low? And yeah. That's what
yeah, I'm a tall lady, yeah.
It was like a loft that had clearly been added into a slightly high ceiling place that didn't need a loft. It was like not I'm sure there were no permits for it. It was unsafe.
A permit, yeah.
And it was like getting into a coffin to like lay down. I was like, I'm not, no, I'll sleep in my car. What do you, what the fuck?
You and your jailmate in the
room. Well, yeah, and it's just also like, if you thought this was, because he was like, oh, well, I guess, you know, I didn't think it'd be a problem. And it's like, what is your house like if this is the acceptable place?
Yeah.
What? And I'm not, I'm a mess, like, whatever. But on what planet? It was just so bizarre.
Well, I mean, I guess he's used to comics being like, you know, that are just as,
they're
you
just
know,
as gross. I don't know. But it's like,
yeah,
I don't need frills. Look, if it's kind of like, it's old and crusty and I could even deal with like, I saw a bug or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would haunt me for years, but it was just like, you hadn't even tried to clean. You didn't even try to, it was like, you know, in Big Daddy, when they cover the piss with newspaper, mm-hmm. there was no newspaper. It was just piss.
I'm sorry.
I'm grateful though that like, if that's the worst thing that's happened to me on the road, because I've been on the road a lot.
You have been. That's a, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I have never had situations where, you know, men were scary, you know, at least that I was aware of.
Yeah.
One time someone in Nashville was hiding behind a dumpster after a show, but I was just featuring. I think they were actually just obsessed with Big J Okerson.
Oh, he was headlining?
Yeah, yeah.
He was hiding behind that. That's very, it tracks for his fans though.
Yeah.
I'm like, that
he came in for a while and was talking to us. It was kind of crazy, but yeah. It was one of those things where there were two headliners and then Nate Bargatze had been hanging out. So we somehow just thought this guy was with a group of friends that knew somebody.
Yeah.
And once everyone's like, oh, nobody knows that guy. He got shoot out and then he was hiding, waiting.
How did he get removed from the back of a dumpster?
I mean, he was in the green room for a while.
Holy.
And then he hid behind it. Yeah. And just, like, popped out. I was like, hey, guys. I'm like, no, absolutely not. But then the condo used to be right down the road.
The goddamn condo's back.
Yes. Yeah. But Big J was put up in a hotel and stuff. So they're we'll walk you to the condo.
Yeah.
And it's like right up the road. And like, they drop, you know, he's, you know, got his friends and stuff. And they drop me off. And they're like, well, Godspeed. Hope nobody gets you tonight. And I was like, okay.
Godspeed.
Hope nobody's in there.
Oh, God. How many just fucking human liquids are in that crusted over condo?
Because comics are gross. And there's like some male comics that really are just like pigs on the road that they're just like, yeah, I took home a gal last night.
Which,
whatever. If you like to fucking, you're a single person, that's fine. Yeah. I've never on the road. It's so
you're not out there banging.
Like, yeah, just got a couple dicks this weekend. I have female friends that they're like, oh, I've hooked up with guys when I'm single on the road. I'm like, I'm afraid.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different, especially when you're staying in a rape condo. That's like just a big fucking hug for crime. I mean,
that it's like the amount of people who come through, it's probably covered in DNA.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. We found another one of Ari Shaffir's hairs from 3 years ago or whatever. And it just.
Shout out to Ari.
Yeah.
And his pubes. I'm sure that's how he wants to be called out. Yeah.
Yeah, kitchen. Probably.
Well, I noticed too, you were talking on your hand. Is that a tattoo?
Oh, it is.
That says slow down.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's so, if you're listening, there's she has a tattoo.
It's like around the rim of my finger.
But it's a good one because it's kind of, it's a good one. It's like a little bleeded, a little faded. Like it's like a prison tap.
It's
good.
It is very prisony.
It's a good one.
You know what? It's been here since 2016. Yeah. And the guy who did it was like, it'll fade, but I'll do it for you. And it has faded, but not the way I thought it would. I used to write it on my hand every night.
Slow down?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my microphone hand. And I talk really fast. And that's like the biggest note I've been given.
As you talk too fast, where people can't understand you?
Yeah. I'll just get too excited in a bit.
I know. I'm the same.
Do you ever like, and you have these other ideas and you try to bounce around?
Yeah. It's
And so... And trying to slow down on stage, I don't even know if it works. Or if I just go, remember when I was going to try to slow down?
But you did actually slow down when you were telling me the story.
Yeah, well, I think seeing it made me go like, yeah, did you notice that? Because you couldn't understand anything I was saying that whole time.
No, but I'm always, the can tattoos are very specific. Like, you know, you really have to, the closest I ever got was my wrist. But you really have, it has it's to be, commitment. It's a note. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I think about it now and I'm like, maybe not the choice I should have made, because for the rest of my life with like acting or something, and until in theory I got so big that it's like, it doesn't matter, we're casting you because people want you, there is a very obvious tattoo on my hand. Mm-hmm. So people are gonna be like, no, you can't be the mother in this Clorox commercial and have a hand tattoo.
You know what, man? It's 2023.
That's what I think too.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm like, moms get moms are covered in tattoos. All my friends who are moms, covered.
Do you have any other tattoos?
Oh. Yeah, I have.
Please tell me you have a tramp stamp.
I have one right here, right above my vagina.
What's it mean if it's on the other side?
It's just a welcome sign, I guess.
Welcome home, everybody.
Yeah. Welcome in one of the lights.
Come into my condo.
It says lucky you. It's a four leaf clover. I'm not kidding. It's
Are so you serious?
Stupid. It's the dumbest thing out.
No, it tracks.
18 spring break.
Yes.
St. Patrick's Day. I thought it was hilarious. And now I have a bit where I say this, but it literally is. If I've hooked up with someone new, I have to be like, oh, lucky you. You're like, ah. Just kidding. And it's faded. It's like, oh, God. But
is it like a
it's like a wilting, like a dying?
Is it like a weed that's like
brown?
So
it's just it's turning in on itself.
Hasn't oh been God. Watered in years.
It will be. It's gonna be so.
You should
much
add
worse.
A new one. Water it.
Yeah, a watering can. I mean, I am watering it these days. Lord, just squirt city. But
I just listened to. Yeah, I was watching some of your stand up, and of course, I went to the one that's about squirting.
Whoops.
I think squirting's an interesting topic.
It's an art, really.
It's an art. Are you a squirt? No, we won't go there. We won't make it sexual. We won't. But you talk about it on stage.
I talk about it on stage. I have moments.
We won't talk. You know? We won't get to sexual yeah. like that. I'm sorry.
I don't want to ruin not cool.
I don't want to ruin your life.
Stories of you. Yeah.
But no. Bringing up bullshit. Yeah. So, okay. So that is, all right. So I've seen some of those comedy condos. I love that fucking story, because every single time I've seen one of them, they are exactly that. Exactly. They look like a janitor's closet. You're yes. like, wow, is this where I'm sitting? Okay.
Yeah, it's so
with a smell of.
Yeah, just, it's like a, like almost moldy, like grandma's house mixed with like something is wet. Yeah. You know when something's just been wet for too long? You're like, what is, it's there's just like a moisture that doesn't belong in a home. And then just a scent of skin. Old skin
with a bullet in it that's been decrepit yeah. and mold.
Some yeah. of them, yeah, bullets in the wall. Oh yeah,
I've been watching too many apocalyptic movies.
You gotta prepare.
I do. So all right, so you all right? You're pretty established a comedian, and you have. Do you have an album or do you have songs? Country songs.
I have two comedy albums, and then I have three songs out. I'm doing an EP, so by yeah. the end of the summer, I think it will be a full. I don't know, the album, EP, it'll be a 6-song thing, and then I might just be like, all right, that was fun.
Yeah.
Or, you know, depending on how it's received, maybe make more, but.
Well, how have people received just the songs that you've put out so far? I love them. Your voice is incredible.
Oh, thank you
it's
so
ridiculous.
Much. Ridiculous. Well, I started doing more because the first one I put out was called Now I Need Whiskey. It like got into like the top 40s on the iTunes charts.
Yeah.
And then I was getting hit up by people who are like by big country singers going like, this is a good song. And are you going to do more? And a radio station played it, and then it got on the short list. So not nominated, but like nominated to be nominated for mm-hmm. 5 different Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I was like independently released. So I was like, okay, I guess like, oh good. This one song that I made on a whim is doing better than the 10 years of my comedy career. That's good. So yep. I was like, okay, well, that feels like maybe enough information that's like, maybe do more. Maybe you're good at this, or there's a lane for you here. So I was like, all right, let me just do. So I just decided I'll do an EP. I'll put out 6 songs.
Mm-hmm.
Just see how it goes. Have fun with it. And, you know, I think when the album is, or the EP or what, I don't know the difference. Musicians are always like, my EP. And I'm like, is that just like a short album? But
I always think it's an episode. I'm yeah. like, oh, your episode's coming out? That's cool.
I'm having an episode, a manic episode, where I wrote 6 country songs. I'll probably do one live show and see how it goes. And then.
Yeah. Are you going to do this? Yes. Are
I
you going
to? Yeah. I don't know if like I'll do it here, or I thought about hitting up Adam Egett, who's down at Rogan's Club now, and being like, well, you're in Texas. Can I do a country music night at the club in Austin? They might be like, no, this is a fucking comedy club, you psychopath. But like,
But couldn't you combine? I mean, that's, do you have
that would be the dream.
Don't you, is that your dream for this to combine?
I would love that. I would love to do like a half hour of comedy and then like there is a country show at the end.
Yeah.
And like, you know, just do some comedy and then turn it into a party where people like dancing and singing. Cause I feel like if you tried to do it the other way, it would be.
You mean doing the song first song and then first. Doing comedy? Oh, yeah. People are like,
no, just play some covers. We don't hear your life story.
Yeah.
And then they're like, there's funny moments in one of the songs, but I don't think of it as musical comedy. So I feel like trying to intertwine it would just be weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I would, in a perfect world, I would love for it. Like, if the music kept doing well and blowing up, I would be like, yeah, let's do more of it. And I feel like there's a world where people think you have to pick a lane, but then I'm like, well, Donald Glover has Childish Gambino, and that's two whole things. Why not, you know, shoot for the moon or whatever?
I feel like people have done it, though. That's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a total tangible,
like,
possible.
Comedy, I only like music. I hate laughing.
Yeah.
Or like, no, I want to hear jokes. Not one single note of a song. I hate songs. So it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, if you don't like country music, leave it into the comedy or whatever. Show up late for the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's what we're going to do, because I think time-wise, we're going to do our no-look joins.
Great. I can't wait.
And then while we do that, I always ask my guests like the same question, because it's the Not Cool podcast. All right, so you know the no-look thing, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. And so I'm going to draw you, and then you draw me, and then just don't, you can look at the canvas once, and then let it rip. So what I ask people, cause it's kind of a, I hope you don't have to think about it too much, but is, what is the most not cool thing about you?
Oh my God. Everything.
Do you know every comic says that?
Yeah.
What do I pick?
It says a lot. About
so self-deprecating.
I know.
I can hate myself. I don't know. I hate everything about me.
At least this drawing is going to raise my self-esteem whenever I see this thing.
As looked. It's gonna be great.
I didn't look. I tried to look and I had to stop myself.
I did it twice already. I've already cheated, so don't worry about it.
Great. Good. I love cheating. That's not true, and that's not what's not cool about me. I'm neurotic.
Okay, I got that. Me too.
Yeah, but I keep looking.
It's okay, Ru. It's okay. There's no look. No police. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, okay. I think I have a habit of unloading my... I want to add some color.
You're really taking it seriously. I love
that.
Well,
it's not going to be any better.
You know who doesn't take it seriously? Dudes.
No.
Whenever dudes do this, literally not one rule is followed. It's amazing. I just look too. See?
I know. This is going to not even look.
And like I lose them completely. Guys seem to be only, they can focus on one thing, but then that's it. They can't talk and draw.
And draw?
Yeah. Rarely. It's an interesting thing. But women.
There's the shade we need. All right.
So you're neurotic, but does that mean like, yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just means I overanalyze, but I have this habit of maybe oversharing thoughts. Like, I'll thought dump on people where it's like, you didn't need my to-do list out loud.
Like strangers or just friends? Like people that you first meet?
I guess mostly friends. So it's not that bad, but I'll just be like, I feel like this is really getting myself off the hook. There's got to be something that's way more not cool about me. Probably how often I flake out of fun stuff is not cool.
Really? You flake out of not of fun things?
Yeah, like, I'm a workaholic. That's
parties and
cool
shit? Okay.
Me. Like, I will miss, like, we're all going to the bar. We're going to do this. Or something that I would love to do.
Yeah.
I would have so much fun.
Yeah.
And, I think I already drew a mouse.
It's okay. I can have six mouths. It's fine.
Six mouths.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll just get anxious and be like, I always think there's too much to do, which is crazy because I'm my own boss. Yeah. And it's all stuff that if I really, like, the world's not going to end because I didn't put an Instagram reel out.
Yeah.
But I'll go like, I have to do this. I have to do that. I have ADHD and it's hard for me to organize and like prioritize things.
Yeah.
So then I'll cancel on fun stuff, which is good for like self-care.
Yeah.
I'm bad at self-care and fun. I'm working on it.
I hear you. I'm the opposite. So I need to focus more on if something's fun. I'm like, let's do that. You know, I'd rather do that than anything. But like, because this is an interesting question for me, because how do you keep from not going bananarama's? Because a lot of our work is on social media. For instance,
yeah,
and being a workaholic, which is great. Most successful comedians and people are workaholics. Crazy. Yeah, and neurotic and everything that you kind of, all the characteristics. Not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. But yeah, how do you keep light? Like, how do you keep, I wouldn't say fun, but how do you keep
not like
relatively happy within a profession that is so saturated with, you know, yeah, like mental illness, substance abuse, competitiveness, you know, like all this stuff that goes along, people pleasing, making sure the audience is happy, like all this stuff that goes along with image and things that you're doing with country music, with comedy. It's all you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, we literally, you expose yourself and then it's like, well, if you don't like what I'm making, then you don't like me. And I have to see that in real time.
Yeah.
I've actually had to do like, add into my routine, like structured out stop time, which is the most neurotic thing ever. But, and I don't always follow it, but I've made rules for if I book like doing something like this, my rule is like, give yourself an hour between that. Like, don't book anything like, nothing, because I'll pack things back to back. I can take a call, I can do this, and I'll overload myself.
Yeah.
And then burn out. So, like, you know, limiting the things I do per day, having, in theory, which I struggle to follow, I have sort of like a clock out time of, obviously, like, I'll go work on shows, but with writing and, you know, just all the little menial things we have to do, booking stuff like this or setting, you know, reaching out for shows or social media, I have. I set alarms and I'm like, okay, you're done now. Like, and then this is so silly, but I started, as if it's another job, actively working on, it's just so embarrassing, but like social time, where I'll go like, oh, let me make time for my friends. It's so dorky because I love it. And I'm not a weird robot who's like, time for social time.
Yeah.
But I just won't make the plan. So I have to, if we're going to do something, like, put it in my calendar, there's a time. And that way I can't overbook myself to the point that I go, oh, I forgot. And now I have a podcast to do, or I have this little thing that I booked. So it's actually becoming more structured has helped me be more loose. And I started a kickball team.
That's right. I've seen that. Yeah. John, our producer, actually.
Yeah. He got part me of that, into right? kickball, and he like started taking, he like let me join his team in Venice, and I loved it. And then I found out there was a team that was way closer, so I don't have to drive as far.
Yeah.
Like a league. So then I just started hitting up a bunch of the people that, A, were athletic, because I'm competitive, which if you could see me play kickball, I have no business being as competitive as I am. But the other people on the team are, some of them are decent. Just like these friends that, I don't know if you have this in LA, where there's people who you like, when you bump into them, you're like, why don't we hang out? And then you never hang
every
out.
Every single person.
Yeah.
Whether they're an acquaintance or my best friend. And I'm like, we should hang out.
Yeah, you're great.
It's so dumb. Yes, every person.
So now I have this built-in weekly thing where I'm like, well, I have to go there. It's a commitment. It's my kickball team. And because I'm in charge, it's so dorky. Like, well, I'm in charge. They expect me to be there.
Yeah.
But it's like, literally carving out time for fun.
Yeah.
And if you're someone who is a workaholic, that's a bit, because then it's like, oh, it's my job to take care of myself.
Yeah. Well, is the kickball team, is that all is it comedians?
It's not all comedians. It's a good amount of comedians, just because that's who I knew. But there's a couple hairdressers on there. We got a guy who
poor people
is comedy adjacent but doesn't do comedy. He just is the Kyle who runs like Don't Tell Comedy.
Yeah.
Athletic. We're like, we can get you in there.
But, yeah.
And that's been great. And it's sort of this side community. And I'm like, oh, when you're younger and in school, it's like you have these built in groups that you see, and it's easy to be like, let's hang out, or like you're together anyways, let's go grab food or whatever. And comedy can be isolating.
Yeah.
And especially going on the road, it's like people just forget about you if you're not around in LA. It's not malicious. It's just like everything's so moving that people, oh, who did I see yesterday? I'll call them.
Yeah.
When you're gone a lot, people are like, oh shit, where have you been? And you're like, just, you know, living my stupid dream, headlining bowling alleys in the Midwest or whatever.
Yeah. No, I'm like, oh God, that's so fucking depressing.
I don't do that anymore. That's true. I don't do bowling alleys anymore.
I do. So if you want to hire me, let me know. My number is area code 323. Yeah. So, well, speaking of, so with Slobs, your podcast now, I think you guys you're going live.
Yeah. We
tell me about your shows with you and Steph Dolov coming up live and theaters and all the stuff you're doing.
We're going to be at Houston Riot Comedy Festival doing a live episode on March 24th, I believe. It's the festival's the whole weekend. I think the live slobs is March 24th. So if you're in Houston, you want to see a live podcast, it's fun. Steph's hilarious. And also, I kind of have gotten to know Steph more through the podcast. And she's very good. She's very social and goes out. And like just being closer friends with someone who does that, who will just, oh, I'm headed here. I'm like, oh, yeah, I could put down what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So just have fun friends, turns out.
Especially on the road, because if somebody's going to isolate, you're like, oh, I guess I'll go to my room too. You know?
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst. And then in April, I'm doing a little Pacific Northwest run. So the 15th, I'll be in Seattle, 16th, Portland, 17th, Vancouver, Canada. And then I'm coming to Baltimore later in the year because honestly, I don't know if the club really want to book me or my mom has worn them down. They book me directly, but I have my suspicions that she's been,
it's
like,
just in the state park. She's
out
running
different comment cards like, we demand her. And it's just my mom.
And her friends.
Yeah. And
in the government. Yeah.
In the government. So the government will be there if you are outrunning the government. Do not come to the show in Baltimore. But if you're in the government, can't wait to see you. I love the government.
Yeah. If you're listening, that was a puke face. Just joking. Not really, but just joking. So those are all your headlining gigs.
Yeah, coming up. I'll have more, but you can go to jmscomedy.com or follow me at jmscomedy. I post them all there.
You do? And also about your music. Where can they find that? Oh, which I'm so excited about.
Anywhere you stream music, look up Norma Lee Wild. That's Norma Lee with two E's and then W-I-L-D-E like Oscar Wilde. They're related, maybe. Who knows?
Where'd you come up with her name?
What?
Where did you come up with her stage name?
I don't know. My grandma's name was Norma.
Yeah.
And then I kind of wanted a name that when people hear it. So I'm hoping like those songs get in the algorithm and people randomly discover it. And I wanted a name where people go, wait, is that a real person or is this like a joke?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I don't know. Wild just seems like a good country name.
It's a great country.
Feels a little bit like a pun because it's like normally wild.
Yeah.
Mostly just a workaholic.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just rolled with it.
All right, last question, because this just came into my head, because I'm a huge Garth Brooks fan.
Oh, God, have you ever seen him live?
You haven't?
Or is it, have you ever?
No. Oh, no. My brother was a massive Garth Brooks fan, so I grew up listening to him. The thunder roll and the lightning strike. Bow,
bow, bow. I got a flannel nightgown. I want to do a song as the woman. Yeah, I shot him. Shouldn't have been cheating with that whore, Deborah. It's always Deborah.
That's always Deborah. Well, the videos, too, were so good because they were actually these like little baby movies.
So country music videos are so dramatic.
God, they were so good. So if I did country, he would definitely like, if I could open for anybody, it would be the old Garth Brooks. I know that's so crazy, but or Willie Nelson. I mean, there's a lot of them. There's Willie Nelson comes to Kentucky every single year for Farm Aid.
Oh, they're doing his 90th birthday.
What?
Here. There's Willie's 90th. I saw
at the Comedy Store?
Not here.
I was what?
Oh, okay. I'm going down on Willie Nelson. Whether he wants it or not.
He'd go down on your clover too. That would be it'd be dry for him.
Yeah. I thought that was weed. I was just trying to get high, and I don't have my glasses.
It's just the crunchy buds. Disgusting. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry.
Oh, and it smells way
so worse. If you could open for any huge country music star, who would it be? And then we'll show our photos and get the fuck out.
That's, you know, I would love to open for Wynonna Judd or Brooks and Dunn.
Wynonna Judd.
There's so many I could name, like Dolly Parton, Sugarland.
But they're different, though. There's like so old different school and like pop country.
Yeah, I would love to open for Wynonna Judd because I loved her music growing up. Mm-hmm. The music I feel like I've put out would be more suited for like a Brooks and Dunn. They're kind of more party, let's dance,
yeah,
boot scoot and boogie type of thing.
Did they do boot scoot and boogie?
Wait, I think so.
No. Wait, I'm thinking, is it Billy Ray Cyrus?
No, that's Achy Breaky Heart.
Achy Breaky Heart. Okay, thank you. No, not boot scoot boogie. I please, the country music fans are gonna put me at a stake and
but I just
put
went,
a
like
bullet
am I
in my
wrong?
Head.
Oh, no.
No. You're probably right.
My whole
right.
life's been a lie.
You're probably right. I'm so sorry. Well, and also we have a Brooks and Dunn shirt at home, and you can't wear it if you don't know their songs. So that's why I'm like, fuck.
How dare you?
Well, you know what? Jessica Michelle Singleton, I've really I really, 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 really enjoyed having you on the show. And because I watched your podcast, obviously, because we're, and I love what you guys do there. And I love Steph Tolliv and what she's doing. And you're super strong females in comedy.
I love, that's why I love your podcast. And so thank you so much for having me.
We're working it out. We're only, you know, this is, we're under 15 episodes. So it's an interesting, it's an interesting journey.
Yeah, you're bringing it to life.
Thanks, man.
I love it.
So if you, please watch Jessica Michelle Singleton on Slobs. It's here at the Comedy Store too. They have a cool backdrop. It's a trailer with little trailer chairs. It's awesome. Please go see her where she has said she's going to headline. Check out her country music. Yeah. That's coming out March
10th.
It's
Friday. I don't know when this is dropping. It'll probably already be out.
It'll already be out.
Okay, great. Yeah, go find it.
Go check it out. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're the best. Oh, and here's these.
I'm so sorry. I guess I made your
list. No. That's great. That's very.
Wow. You had the microphone and everything.
I have the microphone, but you look like you look like you're wearing a cap with no brim. That should have one of those like on top.
That fits me though.
And no nose.
It's like Napoleon Dynamite in a mullet wig.
So. I've actually been compared to Napoleon Dynamite, so that all tracks. Thank you.
Sis. Wow.
Yeah, somebody said I should refer to myself as Napoleon Dynamite when I do stand up. I was like, I don't think that's a compliment.
How dare.
But I do like his goddamn boots.
So. I mean, yeah, they look good.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. You want more Not Cool? Then go to Instagram and subscribe to Not Cool Pod. And or on my own personal page, which is Sarah Hyland Rosenstein. And to watch the full videos of the podcast, subscribe to the Comedy Store channel on YouTube. And please don't forget to rate and review and, of course, subscribe. Thanks for listening and watching, you guys. Stay not cool.